When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Hosting with me tonight is Corey Hughes. Tonight, our guest is Charlie Robinson. Before I bring him on, just a couple of announcements. First, of course, you can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Go check us out on Rockfin. It's where you get all of our premium content, regular shows, and best of all the awesome content from every creator there on Rockfin. Go check it out, create a free account, and see who's all there. Finally, check out the amazing new podcast by the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You can get them all in one place. Our website, forbiddenknowledge.news, and we have more to come every day. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Charlie Robinson. He is an author, researcher, and host and creator of Macroaggressions Podcast. He has recently published a new book, Hippocrazy, which we will be discussing tonight. Charlie, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Good to see you guys again.
Of course. Corey, how are you?
Excellent.
Excellent. I've been looking forward to this. Now, Charlie, there's obviously been no shortage of inspiration for a book with a title like Hippocrazy. And with each day, we descend deeper into the depths of utter madness. But I'd really like to know, what was your inspiration for this one? Because you've been a busy man lately.
Well, you know, the thing is that we're all hypocrites, right? And on some level, it's not the greatest trait. You know, you try to minimize it as much as you can. But I think that one of the things that we have recognized over the last, especially with regard to the COVID thing, but certainly not limited to that, is that the world is run by hypocrites, right? And so I decided to just change the word hypocrisy and rebrand it as Hippocrazy, and then put Uncle Sam in a straitjacket on the cover. In a mental institution, because that's where we are. Like, everyone has gone insane. The politicians are saying one thing and doing another. The COVID narrative tells you one thing and the science tells you something totally different. You know, everything about this whole society that we're living in is like a gigantic lie. Put, you know, sort of like the media is just selling you this false version of reality. You've got governors saying, stay in your homes, don't travel. And then they immediately get busted on airplanes. They're saying, stay in your homes, don't go out to eat. Then they almost immediately get caught in restaurants. I mean, it's like it's out on full display now that the hypocrites are running the show. And so I decided with this book, I would focus on 8 sections, society in general, the woke morons, who I just absolutely obliterate in this thing, the media, the government, wars in general, COVID, that COVID narrative, religion, and also big business. And so inside each one of these 8 aspects of the book, I just point out and document with 480 footnotes all of this insanity that we see and how it's like, and you have to put the footnotes in too, because if you don't, someone will read it, read the, you know, the situation you're talking about, determine it's too crazy for it to be real, and just assume that you're making it up. So like, I have to kind of put all these footnotes everywhere to say like, no, I know this sounds like make-believe, but this is really happening, and here's where you can go and find out about it. So it took 2 years to write. I started it pre-COVID, obviously had to add that section in, and it's just been, it's just a book. It's frustrating to read it, but it's also funny at the same time. So I wanted to make sure that I infused it with as much humor as I can, but because you kind of have to laugh at how crazy things have gotten.
Oh yeah. You said that you started writing it before the whole COVID narrative. And I think we can all agree there was a massive level of collaboration and planning that went into a lot of the agendas that came out of the COVID thing. But did you expect everything to happen as fast as it did?
No. Like, if you think about it, like, we went for like in 18 months, less than 2 years, we normalized the act of going up to a total stranger in the grocery store and asking them if they've been injected with medication. like that should rightly get the shit beat out of you. And yet it's like, people are doing that to each other. I mean, I'll choke somebody out if they ask me for my vaccination status, just on principle alone. But it's like it's been kind of normalized, and that happened fast. Like, I knew that the public was gullible and easily manipulated and sort of dumb, like just physically dumb, and then also sort of chemically dumbed down and dumbed down through the television and all that stuff. I knew we were sort of, you know, susceptible to this, but I really had no idea it would happen this fast.
Yeah. Corey, you got anything for Charlie before we move on to his book?
Well, just a comment, like the speed is what kind of gave them away. Yeah. If they had done this over a 5 or 7 year period or a 10 year period, you know, people would be, I'd be vaccinated. Everybody would be fucking vaccinated. Right. But yeah, when you go too fast, you know, it's the whole boiling frog thing, if that's even true, but, you know, it's the whole concept. But they moved way too quickly, and they did it arrogantly. That's one thing that really shocks me, is how arrogant they were about it.
Yeah, it's like they had it's like somebody changed the schedule, and they said, okay, it's not Agenda 2030, it's Agenda 2025. You guys need to hurry up. And so everyone went, oh, okay. Because if you look at it, like, some of the things that have happened have been like cartoonish, you know, the sort of dictates that the mandates and all these things, it's you're right. They're moving far too fast. And because of that, it's sort of like if out of your peripheral vision, something moves a little faster than normal, then you turn your head and you notice it. These guys have made us notice them. They've moved just a little bit too fast. Well, they moved a lot too fast, and we've noticed it. And we've noticed that their stories don't match up to the science. We've noticed that the science changes. We've noticed that the enforcement of all this stuff is like way overblown, you know, like beating people down to protect their health and everything. Like, this sort of stuff wakes up normies. This is the sort of stuff that wakes up people that are asleep. You know, they see that and they go, wait a second. This can't possibly be about a virus, because your reaction to it is incongruent with logic. Like, you're saying that, like, if we can just save one life, and then you say that you're going to round up and take the license away from doctors that prescribe ivermectin, something that won the Nobel Prize. You're going to take their license from them, because they're offering an alternative, possible alternative solution to this deadly virus. So, like, that is an indicator that we're not dealing with actual real science. That's an indicator that you're dealing with a massive agenda. So then you go, okay, like, so once again, that's sort of like waking up normal people. They're going, that's not what you do in a real pandemic. That's some bullshit right there. So I kind of, there's part of me that kind of wants them to get crazier with it. I want them to move faster and I want them to feel rushed. I want them to feel like they have no choice but to just go over the top. And I think that it's what's becoming kind of obvious for people if they really stop and think about this, is that this agenda that they're putting, this plan that they're pushing out on us, it must not be going very well in their little control center, because there's no way that this is plan A that we're living through. It's too disjointed for it to be. This has got to be like their third or fourth backup plan, because the wheels are coming off the narrative in almost every different way it can come off. The celebrities are starting to question it. The medicine, the medical science doesn't add up. The bot science guys are starting to contradict themselves. Nobody can keep their story straight. The numbers are changing constantly. The social distance numbers from 6 feet go to 3 feet. That doesn't make any sense. Like everything that they told you to do early on, they're telling you to do the exact opposite. And Corey, of course, we've talked about this before, about how you psychologically break somebody by doing that. Like, say one thing and then say, do the other thing, and you break their brain. And we understand this is part of the operation. But like, even for the normies, they're looking at this going, everything that you told us to do early on, now you're telling us to do the exact opposite. None of this makes any sense. You know, so good. I want them to keep going. Like, make it crazier. Say you're going to take doctors out and shoot them in the parking lot if they don't take the vaccine. Like honestly, start saying stuff like that, because then everyone will go, what? Like, it's an indicator that things aren't going well for them. So when I see the insanity, I'm actually kind of applauding it, because I know the more insanity we see, the harder time they are having to putting this plan in place.
Yeah, you're right. I'm hoping that it all explodes in their face. But let's get to your book. You cover so many aspects of this whole shenanigans that's going on globally. And one of them you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, the celebrity aspect. Have they all of a sudden been breaking their MK Ultra programming and turning against the system? Well, at least a couple of them. But the virtue signaling and the use of celebrities through the media to push this, especially in the beginning, I mean, it got so disgusting and so ridiculous at one point. And now I think even the celebrities are thinking it's kind of ridiculous, the lengths that they're going to. What do you think?
Yeah, I point out, like, celebrity hypocrisy kind of pre-COVID, like having nothing to do with COVID, but a similar operation, global warming, and how you get Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, to go speak in front of the UN and talk about climate change initiatives and all these things. And he's going to be a real he's going to push for this and getting everybody activated and really caring about this stuff. And he's so good at this with his acting background, all that he's winning awards. Right. And so what he did was he flew on a private jet from Los Angeles to Europe to accept an award for talking about reducing your carbon footprint while flying there in a private jet. And then after that, went to the south of France and hung out for a week on the fifth largest yacht in the world, a yacht that's so big that its carbon footprint is bigger than some villages and cities. It's that big. So we see these morons in Hollywood that are just gigantic hypocrites. And so so that's like kind of part of where I start the book, it's just having fun with those guys. Cause it doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't matter to me and Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, and I'm not trying to say don't fly in a private jet or don't go party with Victoria's Secret models in yachts. I mean, do it, but don't simultaneously tell everybody else that looks up to you, you've got to eat the bugs and you've got to ride bicycles and sell your car, you know, because you just look like an asshole, which of course, you know, and so I will mock those people and as we should. Right. But it's not limited to them. We saw this just recently in the Met Gala, where everyone's got, you know, all the help has masks on and all of the stars don't. Oh, what? So they're just magically okay. Like, what's going on? So there's that hypocrisy as well. And it's really with the book itself, like writing it was relatively easy. I felt like one of the harder parts of it was just deciding like how much stuff to cut out, you know, because you could do this forever. Like I could write an entire book on just the media's hypocrisy, you know, and I probably will, but at some point you just have to go like, okay, it's like beating a dead horse. We get it. These guys are all full of shit. But it is kind of a nice way to show, you know, with a bit of a smile. Cause like I said, the book is fun. It's frustrating, you know, when you hear about all this stuff, but it's still fun, you know, cause you laugh at the absurdity of it all, but it's nice to have it all in writing. Cause a lot of people I think are going to read it and go, oh my God, I totally forgot about this. Yes, this is insane. I forgot that guy said that. I forgot that we voted to do this, some stupid policy that the United States. So, you know, I have some fun with it too, but the overall theme of it is that you've got to be very careful about the people that are in positions of power or in positions of prominence, like in your media and everything. And realize that a lot of these people are just pathological liars and that they have no problem telling you one thing and doing something else. And so what I wanted to do was just really kind of document that as best I could and bring a bunch of receipts and just say, like, it's not just me saying that. Here you go. Here's all the evidence about these people. Like, they should never be listened to. You should never trust them. Shouldn't listen to a thing that anyone on your mainstream media says to you. Anybody that works at CNN, you should do the exact opposite of whatever they suggest to do. And it's not, I'm not left or right. They're equally bad. Fox News is just as bad as MSNBC. So I just don't discriminate in this one. I just go after anybody that deserves a Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Well, you can't write a book about hypocrisy and not mention the Catholic Church.
Of course not. I mean, is it a little encouraging to see, like, mainly, I guess, some of the sports guys coming out against the narrative and maybe putting their careers on the line a little bit? You know, I don't give a shit about Nicki Minaj or what she's saying. I mean, great, she's coming out against the vax, but it's still Nicki Minaj, you know. But yeah, it is kind of encouraging to see some of these, you know, higher level celebrities go against the narrative and see what happens from there. But I really don't think it would make any difference in the large scope of things.
No, and I get, after I get into these celebrities and their private jet escapades and all of that, I get into a topic that I'm sure Corey would love, and that is the aggressive policing system.
Yes, I was just about to bring that up.
Hypocritical and crazy that is, the systems that we have in place, how they have the 1033 program that recycled in $10 billion worth of military hardware for the police. So that's why you see like armored personnel carriers in like some podunk town to go serve warrants and everything, because all you have to do is request it and then pay for the shipping and handling and you can have it. And it's like helicopters, night vision, 79,000 500 assault rifles, if grenade launchers, like whatever you want. If you're a police force, I don't even know if you have to justify why you need it or why you want it. You just have to be able to pay for the shipping and handling. And so you do that, and then you hire these Israeli firms to come over and train the police officers to escalate situations instead of de-escalate situations. And I can't think of a worse nation to have their ex-soldiers teach our police how to behave, given the fact that they're unhinged psychopaths in Gaza and the West Bank, the way they treat the Palestinians. And so those are the wrong people to come over and teach our police. And now we wonder why you get Tamir Rice, who gets shot in the back 2 seconds after a cop, literally 2 seconds after the cop arrives on the scene. So, we've got problems with that. And I'm not going to be nice about it.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM. When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You know, the problems with the police. Now, we can train them, retrain them. We can ban, you know, get rid of them, whatever the plan is. But something has to change, because it's, you know, you arm them like soldiers and you dress them like soldiers and you treat them like soldiers, and they've got the weapons and personal APCs of soldiers and everything. Eventually, they're going to act like soldiers and they're going to start looking for enemies to shoot. And of course, this is what's happening. So it's like, am I worried about catching COVID and dying? No. Statistically, I'm more likely to be shot by a cop. So if we want to sort of prioritize where our fear should be, unfortunately, our fear should be towards the people that are supposed to be there to protect us, because you got a situation where the police force has 60% of the families have domestic violence abuse happening in them. You have a huge percentage of the police force that's juiced up on steroids. You know, this is a recipe for disaster. So I just let it be known that the police are responsible for their own actions, and they don't get to just pretend like, oh, I have a dangerous job. Because I in the book, I list all of the jobs that are statistically more dangerous than being a police officer. And I got to be honest, being a cop isn't that dangerous. If you look at this list, I'm sure you don't want to go on domestic violence calls and things like that. But for the most part, being a cop is less dangerous than being an electrician.
Any thoughts on that, Corey?
No, it's very true. It's not even in the top 25. Septic tank cleaner, I think, was like number 3, and cop wasn't even on the fucking list, right? Now, so you have more of a chance of choking on shit by falling in a septic tank than fucking like being a cop getting killed in the line of duty. Yeah. No, I could talk for hours on cop shit, and it's what's going on now is really strange, because I still talk to my cop friends in Florida where I used to work, and they're not down with what's going on. The entire hierarchy knows it's bullshit. You know, the city isn't even enforcing any type of COVID restrictions, or there's no mandates there, but it is in Florida, right? And this is another thing. In Florida, they never got hit with any restrictions whatsoever. So they don't have a fucking clue what it was like for the rest of us to have to go through this shit. You know, so when I talk to them, they think it's crazy that I'm talking about masks and stuff, you know, because they never had it. Nothing ever changed for them. But yeah, they're not down with what's going on. So if orders came down from up high, you know, I don't know what would happen. I really don't. There would be some kind of rebellion for sure.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what's going on with a lot of police force psychologically, you know, especially in the areas where there is more pushback. And, you know, they have family and friends who are like, you know, tell them what's up, and they have to make a decision. Do I, you know, stay with this police force and have everyone in my life hate me? Or, you know, do I just keep taking, or, you know, do I dump this and do what I feel is right? You know, it must be a hard time for a lot of cops right now.
Yeah. They better pick a side. You know, they're one bounce paycheck away from switching teams too. So, and if they think that their government bosses are going to value them or treat them well, if shit hits the fan, they will not. So I think they should be very honest about where they stand in this hierarchy of things, and realize that they're not at the top of the food chain here, and that they will get eaten themselves, and that they need to be very careful about not being the brown shirts for this regime, because if history teaches you anything, they'll grow a parallel organization like the SS and wipe out the brown shirts at some point. So these police officers that are going along with these insane edicts, like in Australia and New Zealand and in the UK and Canada, they need to be very careful, because they're clearly not knowledgeable about history, because they don't know what's coming for them. And it's not good. They're disposable, but they'll be the last to figure that out. So it's gut check time for cops and firemen and nurses and all these people. You know, like, what are you going to do? What team are you on? You know, you need to decide now. Like, this is kind of the most important time. So
yeah, we're in a time where if you haven't decided what team you're on, man, it's getting to be too late. But of course, you touch on the wonderful Epstein saga, which I want to talk a little bit about, and 264 Pentagon employees involved with child porn. Shocking.
Yeah, none of them prosecuted, of course.
Of course.
You don't do that. So you know, the Pentagon, you know, a very secure place. Like, I don't know. Listen, I'm not into that stuff, so I wouldn't know. But yeah. but I gotta think that if you're doing something like that, you've got to know that if you get caught, it's really bad. And if you're doing it online, there's a chance you can get caught. So my thinking is, if you are one of these people and that's what you're into, and go to hell if you are, but you know, if that's what you're into, why would you be looking it up at work when your work was the fucking Pentagon? Like, you don't think that they're watching what you're doing? Like, if you're that stupid, then let's think about that. Then if you're dumb enough to do that at work, then you're criminally stupid. And yet there were 264 of these morons just at the Pentagon that got caught for this. But then on top of that, as if like, can we agree that that would be a fucking epidemic at work? If you had 264 people doing anything all at the same, you know, like,
besides working
child porn, right? Like, there's no gray area on this. Like, it's not good. So like, you catch all these people, and then your response is to do nothing about it. Like, this is the society that we live in. And so you have to, like, you have to just kind of shake your head at like how crazy, how, you know, how just upside down everything really can be.
Yes, you sure do. Now, did you uncover any interesting information or any updates about the Epstein saga that you'd like to share?
I don't know if anything's new about the Epstein thing, except that, you know, it's just that guy is like a branch manager of this sort of operation. You know, everyone's like, oh, Epstein was the head of this whole thing. Not really. Like, there's a lot of Epsteins. In fact, Peter Nygaard is just in the news today again. That he's a scumbag fashion billionaire from Winnipeg who also has an island in the Bahamas and had like all these sex trafficking allegations brought against him, had the same 727 airplane as Epstein and Trump, by the way, with the deploying rear staircase that you can put down while in flight, which makes you think that they're throwing things out of it. And considering they're dealing with young girls, it makes me think that they're throwing them out of it. Although that's just speculation on my part. So you've got a sort of theme here, right? These sex trafficking guys, Epstein, flying old 50-year-old airplanes when they've got hundreds of millions of dollars. Same with Nygaard. He's got an old airplane. Same with Trump. Trump had one of these too. Now, I'm not trying to say that I think Donald Trump is throwing chicks out of the back end of his his airplane, but I'm just saying that they all have the same airplane and these airplanes are old.
Didn't Epstein also, was he also working on some kind of strange like DNA harvesting form to make a bunch of little Epsteins or something?
Yeah, he was doing that in Santa Fe. That was what was going on at that Santa Fe ranch of his. And he would have these science conferences at the island, and he would invite all these guys, Marvin Minsky and all these like AI guys and all these evolutionary biologist guys and robotics people. He'd have them all down there for like a big summit, and God knows what the fuck happened down there with them. But he would network with all these guys and then finance them. And some of them were building like Hanson Robotics. This guy from Hanson Robotics was building this little Sophia doll, this AI emotional intelligence doll that was meant for girls that were 8 years old and up. And it had like cameras, it was and microphones, RFID chips,
flashlight.
Like it was geotagged, man. It was like a perfect recording device. And they were, it was like 16 inches big. And this little Sophia doll. So you remember that publicity stunt years ago in Saudi Arabia where Sophia, the AI doll robot, was given citizenship and everyone laughed because she was treated better than the actual women in Saudi Arabia. Well, this was the little Sophia. They took that same AI thing, the same guys, Ben Gertzel and David Hansen from Hansen Robotics, and they were building this little Sophia doll for, and they got their money. They got $6.5 million to finance this from Epstein. So like, think about that, man, a guy who's sex trafficking girls. He's going to have a stuffed animal in the room that's a fucking networking center with cameras and everything. You can have guys order which kids they wanted online. I want that one. They'll send some deviant to the house to kidnap her in the middle of the night. I mean, I'm serious. This is the shit that he was doing. So, you know, you gotta mention that. And yeah, then all his celebrity ties. Don't forget about that.
Oh, yeah. Good times at the old Epstein Island. Anything to add about child porn, Epstein, or robotic fleshlights, Corey?
Not other than it's pretty clear he was an Israeli agent. I mean, at whatever level. But you don't get to do the things that he does and traipse around the world with underage girls unless you work for a government.
He's with intelligence. Mm-hmm. He's part of, I mean, that was what they said during the when he had his plea bargain. You know, they talked about him being with intelligence, you know, like hands
right
off.
And like, and a lot of people like always when they think intelligence they think like James Bond, right? And like, not everybody who works intelligence is fucking James Bond. Even they need guys to mop the floor, right? Yeah. So that's where Epstein falls into this hierarchy, where he was more of a schmoozer than a guy, you know, a James Bond type character. So
yeah
definitely. It's, oh man, we live in such interesting times. I have to, we have to touch on the topic of two agendas, really. First, the disarming of America, of course, and the impotent war on drugs that's been going on forever and just causing massive destruction across our country. But you touch on these, so I'd like to get a little dose of what you've been writing about that.
Yeah, the war on drugs, man, has been such a, what a disgusting and intentional miscarriage of justice. I mean,
yeah.
And it disproportionately targeted the poor communities, Black communities, Hispanic communities. I mean, they changed the laws. Joe Biden and Bill Clinton in that omnibus crime bill put in their strict sentencing mandatory minimums for possession of crack cocaine as opposed to powdered cocaine, because crack cocaine was seen as being a Black drug, whereas white powder cocaine was more of a white drug. And so they made the prison sentences like five times as long and made them like mandatory for anybody dealing with convictions of crack cocaine. So like the war on drugs was a war on the poor, you know, and they're the ones that paid the price for it. It's like in terms of having their communities destroyed, but also paid the price of getting locked up for this. Cause they needed this new batch of bodies to occupy the private prison industry that they were simultaneously bringing into existence. So they were growing this private prison industry, and the investors were like, we need bodies in there and we need guarantees of bodies. So the states were doing like these deals with private prison industries where they were guaranteeing them occupancy. You know, we'll guarantee you 80%, 90%, some cases 100% guaranteed. If there's any shortfall, the state will take care of it, you know? So now you've got this disgusting privatization of people's freedoms, you know, and monetizing it and then putting it on Wall Street. And you can buy stock in these companies like Correction Corp of America. And, you know, it's fucking disgusting.
And all with CIA provided drugs, you know, to help the agenda move along.
Yeah. Exactly. So the CIA brings the drugs in with the help of Bill Clinton in the 80s, the CIA with George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton and their whole team bringing drugs in while simultaneously having a war on drugs where they can then arrest the people in the black communities for having the drugs that they brought in and put them in the private prisons that their law firms and venture capital funds help finance. So it's the most disgusting thing ever. And it's right there out in the open. And they can't deny it because that's what's happening. And but we're not allowed to talk about it, you know.
No, and then on the other hand, one of the biggest drug dealers to, you know, most of society is our medical system, our doctors, our pharmaceutical industries, you know, getting people hooked on opiates now. But that's, you know, a different class. That's okay to be hooked on opiates. Everybody's hooked on pharmaceuticals, right?
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. The drug industry, I mean, the pharmaceutical industry has been a huge part of killing Americans for a long, long time. If we were going to be honest about the war on drugs, like it has to be a war against the pharmaceutical companies as well, because the sort of what they've been doing, the synthetic drugs, are killing more people than the others. And you know, let's also be honest that the American medical industry is the third leading cause of death in America behind heart disease and cancer. So we're talking about an industry that is held out to the rest of the world as like the best healthcare industry in the world, the best you can get. And that's just not true. I mean, maybe there's specialty hospitals here and there, but for the most part, America is average in their medical care. You have better medical care in Thailand.
Yeah, like, it's mainly somewhere to go if you want to kill yourself slowly, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that it's, and, you know, and we obviously point out in the book, but we've done plenty of shows just talking about how the pharmaceutical industry are all convicted felons, you know, that they've all been found guilty in courts of law and paid billions and billions of dollars of fines. They've been found guilty of felonies, like rigging, like price fixing, bribery, extortion.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, Code PROGRAM.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fraud, medical fraud, saying that a drug works when it doesn't, saying a drug works for this when it when they didn't do any testing. They've been found guilty of all this stuff, and it's like, but now these days, now because of COVID, they're like up on a pedestal, and you can't talk about
science is the new religion.
They're here to save us.
Yeah, fucking yeah, crazy. 100% it is. Now I want to go back to the guns. Do you think that it's possible that we could become the next Australia when it comes to being disarmed by our own government?
I'll tell you what, like if people are wondering what a line in the sand is for them, and they haven't determined it yet. And I mean, in term, not even morally, but just this is the line that when this line gets crossed, it's time to get the fuck out of here. And that would be if they disarm the public. If they disarm the public here in the United States, and that's a big if, because I don't think they will. But if they could, you would know that the slaughter is just about to begin. And don't tell me that wouldn't happen here because we're America. Don't tell me that we have values, and don't tell me it. Watch what happened here in the last 18 months. And you tell me how easy it is to control, get Americans to think however the fuck you want them to think. You want them to be terrified and put on 3 masks and a butt plug to go into the grocery store because of an invisible virus with a 99.98% survivability rate. They all line up and do it. So we are easily manipulated. And so if they, it's, anything is possible right now. I am simultaneously infuriated with the direction this country is going in and totally in awe of how they've been able to pull it off. You know what I mean? Like to get everybody to just collectively turn their brains off. It's just been like watching a magic trick. It's really crazy. So I don't know.
No, I'm hoping that, you know, there are pockets of resistance right now that are planning, you know, to overthrow the system, to come out in droves with their AK-47s and before like that's able to happen, you know, yeah, like something like that. I'm, you know, but
you,
it's
you,
high hopes.
You cannot get disarmed. You just cannot have that happen because history has shown that they'll round up people. Dissenters, they'll give a reason and they'll start shooting people. And listen, anybody that's talking out against the regime will be on the list. So if you're one of these people that has wrong think, you've been thrown off of social media or you've been banned or censored or whatever, just know that if you start to hear the narrative in the media talking about not just gun control, but gun removal and things like that, you'd be very, very afraid of that because that's what Mao Zedong said. You disarm the populace before the slaughter. So
yeah.
Any one thing I found, one thing I found kind of interesting. I'm interested in picking up a couple guns. And so I've been looking at all the big online gun shops and availability. And there is not a shortage of pretty much any firearm. I couldn't find any firearm that they didn't have in stock ready to ship. And there's such a high demand. I mean, they have to just be spitting these things out. And you'd think that any first attempt to disarm us would come from shutting down these companies. Because at the rate guns are getting manufactured and sold and still available, you know, odds of them ever being able to really disarm us, I think, are minimal.
Yeah, exactly. You'd watch them shut down the gun manufacturers first. Yeah. Or start going after the licensees of these gun shows, shutting down gun shows, things like that. It'd be incremental, of course. It would be like bump stocks here. You see how you're just, we're like four good false flags away from full gun removal, you know?
Yeah.
Like that, because the next one will be get rid of shotguns. The next one after that will be to get rid of rifles. The next one after that will be to get rid of pistols. The next one after that will be to get rid of muskets or whatever. I mean, you know what I mean? And then that'll be it. And so yeah, they'll have a false flag. They'll get everybody saying, oh, if only there's gun control for this shotgun, got this guy with the shotgun who killed all these children, you know, and then the shotguns will go away. And then a couple years will go by, and then the rifles go away. You know what I mean?
There's so many places, like, especially in the South, where this couldn't happen. I lived in fact, every neighborhood I lived in Louisiana, the whole neighborhood had guns and would protect each other if anything, like, you know, if a bug would buzz too loud. What the hell was that? You know, it was funny, but it's true. They're not going to give up their guns, so especially a lot of places in the South. And unfortunately, that might be one of the safer places to go right now. You know,
no kidding. You don't want to be disarmed, especially like, look at this government. Look at the everything about it is fake. This is the government you definitely want to make sure you're armed just in case of, you know, just in case, like with a government like this. Some of the other ones maybe kind of, you know, didn't rub you that way. But this Biden administration, like, you don't know who's controlling it.
It's not Biden. He's dead.
It's not him.
I think. It's just
the crazy thing is, they've only been here 9 fucking months.
I know. You know,
we're stuck with them for like 3 more fucking years.
Just getting started. And I'm sure that whole side felt the same way when Trump came in. You know, I'm sure that they were like, oh my God, with 3 more years of this, you know. But seriously, like, I think even the people on the left are starting to go, like, we voted for him, but we didn't vote for this. You know, like he's kind of an unhinged dude. So yeah, anything's possible.
Remember, it's all WWE, man. That's all, the outcomes are prearranged.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? Kayfabe? Is that it?
Kayfabe. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, we got to get to something funny, man. This topic always makes me laugh. The 53,000 genders and virtue signaling amongst our woke generation here. And you write about that. Man, this is just, I never cease to be amazed and disgusted and horrified and just tickled to death by every time I read something about this or see an article or just encounter someone who identifies as a cat dog or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they had, I made a list of all of the genders that you're allowed to
be on
Facebook. And like, you go through and you read it and you're like, first of all, it's 100% real. And you look at it and you go, I don't even understand. Like, one of them will be like trans man and the other one will be trans male. And you're like, what's the difference? You know? And so it's like gibberish, you know, but it's funny to me, you know, because there's some people out there that really take it seriously. And what I've determined, or what I sort of came to the conclusion I came to, is that the loony left loves to label themselves. They love to put as many labels on themselves as they can. You know, it's like, they've got to have all the letters of the alphabet in their bio. They've got to have their pronouns in the bio. They've got to have, if they're handicapped, in their Twitter bio, they've got to have, you know, which any way that they can put themselves in a smaller box just to go, look at me, I'm special. It's just like mental illness. And I think that social media feeds into that, you know, and makes them, like, they get like their insanity positively reinforced.
Well, it's not only social media. Have you seen Netflix lately? Have you seen anything on TV lately? Like, every show, there's like a trans lead role or something. It's just getting ridiculous.
I'm not trying to shit on somebody that is like legitimately transgendered. Like, it's got to be rough. It's got to be a very confusing life. And I'm not trying to be a dick, but the others that are just like, well, in the morning I'm pansexual, and in the afternoon I'm gender fluid, and you know, you just go, no, all day long you're fucking crazy. That's what it is. This is an like you're mentally ill, or you're trying to like impress your friends, or you're trying to be like quirky or something. But this is this us normalizing this and treating it like it's serious and real. That shit has got to stop.
But if like, you only believe in two races, you're a Nazi, right? I mean, yeah, two genders, I mean.
Well, listen, now, and then that's that kind of takes us into the next thing, right? How you say, you know, like you're a Nazi. If everybody is a Nazi, then how bad are Nazis, right? Because they've called everybody Nazis. Now it's like everybody's a conspiracy theorist, or everybody, you know, you're an anti-vaxxer. So they've got all these derogatory terms for you that just are, the more they wear them out, the less impact they have. So,
And the Nazi term is like the dumbest in the world to use, because it's not possible to be a Nazi unless 95% of your philosophy has to do with the economic systems of pre-war Germany. You know what I mean? So it's vast majority of Nazism was about the economics, not about the race issues. To me, it's like the most ridiculous thing to call somebody.
Yeah, but good luck with anybody even thinking about that shit. Okay. They just, all they know now is...
they call you a Nazi for saying it.
You're just right, exactly. You're yeah.
They don't have anything better.
It's an upside down world, but you know, the woke people are fun to make fun of, but there's also a real dangerous component to this as well. And that is something that the House of Representatives have just passed. And that
Oh my God, I was just about to ask you about this. This is
the removal of all of these words that you are now no longer allowed to say, but according to House rules during session, you're no longer allowed to say father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, first cousin, nephew, brother-in-law, sister. I mean, it just goes on, a grandson, grandfather, anything that describes the family, you're not allowed to say. And that is the beginning of some real dystopian communist shit right there. When you start removing the words it describe the concepts of families, that's the first step at removing families. And that puts you into some real socialist insanity, you know, where you start saying, well, the state's going to raise, you know, what you start seeing these promos on MSNBC talking with these anchors doing these little intro promos going, you know, we have to really get away from starting thinking that parents own their children. Actually, the communities own the children. It's like, no, 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 you fucking dangerous Marxist communist weirdo. When the state owns the children, we've got huge problems. So these people are trying to normalize this shit, and it's happening right now in our government with the removal of all these terms. And this is like what Orwell was talking about, where you start removing words in this language, then you start removing the ability to describe things, and eventually those things just kind of fade out of existence. And that is like a dystopian hellscape. That's 1984, like actually happening. So part of it, you know, part of the woke part was to bash the eight gendered weirdos, and that was fun for sure. But then I had to get into more of the serious part, which is where this removal of words and the removal of the idea of the family is like super duper dangerous, and like the precursor to every like communist, you know, it's like the precursor to sliding right into communism. So like these people need to really pay attention. Like the people in charge of this agenda want a very different reality than what we want. You know, they want us all enslaved forever. And if you follow and start normalizing this insanity that they're putting forward, we will be going in that direction. So it's kind of important to pay attention.
Yeah, along the same lines, something else you write about too, it seems like they're kind of extinguishing this spiritual or religious aspect to our society in many ways, and, you know, kind of putting up on a pedestal more materialistic and you know, a lifestyle that transhuman, more technocratic, and doing away with any type of religious rights and freedoms. You can see that now in China. Seems like we're really trying to adopt a lot of their policies.
Yeah, and we talk about Yeah, it's the removal of, you know, and I'm not really particularly a religious person, but
right.
but the idea of having something that, you know, people, a lot of people, it's a huge part of their life, you know, and to remove that from them is I think is really dangerous, because you destabilize these people. Something that has given them like comfort their entire life, you start destroying their religion. It's really, you know, that's, you're going to have a bunch of people that are unhinged. But at the same time in the book, I have to point out what's going on inside of these religions, you know, and the inside of these churches, and like the most hypocritical people around. And of course I get into the Catholic Church and their decades and decades of raping and murdering people, and, you know, and the care homes and everything. And I had a guy on Macroaggressions talking about this book. He's a guy from Australia talking about this really insane care home story about one that was in Australia in the town where he was living. It had been there for like 100 years, and the nuns ran it from the UK. They were sent there, and they were just like murdering kids and beating kids. And it just this crazy shit. So it's like religion. So it's like, you kind of have to be careful, because on the one hand, this religion, if you take it away from everybody, you're going to freak them out. But at the same time, this religion is filled with some dirty, dirty people. And so you have to be aware of that as well. So I definitely point out the hypocrisy of, you know, how everyone like talks about all the good things that the Bible says to do. And then I just make a list of all the really horrible shit that's in the Bible, you know, that's like, hey, listen, it's like, it's not my fault. I'm just pointing it out. Like, this is in your book, and you want to say like, oh, the Bible is this and it's all great and everything. It's like, okay, well, I acknowledge that, but you're cherry picking, because there's a bunch of really crazy, like, legit crazy shit in the Bible. So I made lists of all that and where it was and everything. So people, I don't think that's going to make them very happy, but look, like, how can you talk about hypocrites and not mention religion? It's
right.
Just, it's like, it's gotta be at the top of the list.
I agree. But I see that after post 2020 science, this new kind of science has become like a new religion, to where you can't question it. You can't go and do your own research because, well, it's science, because we said so. And this has become the new thing, kind of like this new all questioning, all powerful pseudoscience that we're trying to push on everybody. And there's so many people just fucking falling for it and not doing their own research and not looking into it and questioning, well, this doesn't make any sense at all. And the CDC's behind you know, so much of this.
Did you see the video of this mentally ill, I'm sure, lady who, I don't know what exactly her title was. She was some sort of health director of something. And she was walking up to the podium, and she was, what she was doing was she walked up to the podium. She had her mask on, of course. She got two pumps of Purell, put it on her hands, took her mask off one ear at a time, folded her mask, put it down, pumped two more things of Purell on her hands, and then went into her sermon. And I was like, oh my God.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They've even got their own rituals.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much of a religion that they've even got this little ceremony that they do with the pumping of the Purell and the masks, folding and taking it off and neatly putting it there. Holy shit. They're like 2 steps behind, like wearing, you know, I mean, they've got the beginnings of a fucking religion, the religion of COVID. And so if you look at how they're being used, what you see is, you know, there's a lot of overlap, man. It's people have been joking about this being a cult, but it really has some of the hallmark traits of cult-like behavior.
Do these people like not fuck anymore? Because that's some major germ transfer going on there.
You just put a little Purell on it and they're good. Say a prayer.
Yeah. Purell has lube.
God. Yeah, it's terrifying. I mean, the crazy symbolism and occult aspects and the numbers they're throwing out there. And how many times have you heard an official say, well, welcome to the New World Order or this New World Order? Or so, they throw it in our faces, and I think they got to be laughing and, I don't know, jerking off to it or something. It's quite ridiculous.
I think that's some Freemason shit right there.
Probably.
I think so too. Yeah, it's there. We've done the thing. You could look up how many articles have been written that said 33 dead, 33,000 dead, or it's like endless. So they're definitely fucking with us. I think we've established that. But I don't think that things are going according to plan. I feel like the wheels are kind of falling off a little bit. So it seems like the lady in New Zealand, or not New Zealand, Australia recently, who just resigned, that maniac that would go in front of the microphones and say, you can't leave your house. You can't smile. You can't, that little lady that was like real fugly and like, would do that she stepped down. And she stepped down like a week after this other dude in the Australian government went on camera answering a reporter's question about what's going on. And he said, I'll tell you what's going on. They've taken $10 million from the pharmaceutical industry to push this narrative, and I can prove it. And that's what's happening. And then a week later, she steps down. So like now that now there's the guy at NIH, he's stepping down, right?
After Collins, yeah.
Yeah. What's going on? What happened in the SPARS pandemic document? At the end, when the vaccine just fizzled out and started killing everybody and giving everyone mad cow disease, all of these officials had to step down. They were like shamed out of existence, So what the fuck's going on? I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how, these simulations and white papers and things that were done before, especially you look at Event 201. It's, how can you not be questioning things like this and then do some further research into it? Because it's obviously this stuff has been planned and they're implementing these agendas, whether they're falling apart or not. I mean, it does seem like they're falling apart. I don't know. But I'd like to get your thoughts on the media now. And do you see people turning away from it more? We talked about how earlier, by now, people have probably had their minds made up and there's a line drawn in the sand. They're picking their sides. But do you think there's still a chance? Because every day I see more people calling out the media on their bullshit, and the media keeps making their mistakes and doing the same shit over and over again. They're not even trying. They're not even trying to fix their mistakes anymore. Do you see any change in people's views of the media and what's actually really going on before it's too late?
I feel like it has more to do with the general intelligence level of the public. Like, they're dumbing down people at such a rate, like if they can dumb them down fast enough, they'll still be watching the media. But if they don't dumb the people down quick enough, eventually everyone will figure it out. Because they, like you said, they're not making even attempts to hide their lies. They get caught over and over and over again. Rolling Stone doing the big article on the Oklahoma hospital turning away gunshot victims because ivermectin overdose patients, a 100% fabricated story. They haven't retracted it. They haven't taken it down. They put a little blurb up that said there's questions about this, but it's still up. All those other news agencies then took that and started reporting it as well. Started reporting it as fact. They could make one phone call and sort this whole thing out. They didn't do it. Guy hadn't worked there in months. place that they're talking about is like, what are you talking about? But none of it's true. We haven't had a gunshot wound victim this entire year. We're certainly not turning anybody away, and nobody is overdosing on this. Every aspect of the story was a lie. That should make everybody wonder about the mainstream media, but it will only make a small section actually figure it out from that. So you just have to keep having this repetition of them getting caught again and again. Oh, here's the footage of Syria, this gun battle in Syria. No, it's a Kentucky gun range footage that you knew you used, you fucking liars, and you got caught. You know, so it's like another thing and then another. I mean, and they're not the biggest lies in the world, you know, but it just goes to show that they'll lie about stupid shit.
Yeah.
And if they'll lie about stupid shit, they'll lie about important shit too. So it's like, I don't know why anybody is watching the mainstream media, but for those that are still watching it, I mean, I got to think that even sort of the dummies in that crowd are figuring this out, that they're just being lied to all the time. But maybe I'm too optimistic. You know, maybe the media will just continue to lie and it'll be idiocracy and nobody will figure it out. And we'll just be like so frustrated that, like,
you know, I would have thought, maybe even last year that there would have been a complete uprising after Biden made the announcement about mandatory vaccinations for employees, businesses with 100 employees or more. I would have thought that would have been it. You know, I thought people would have been taken to the streets with their guns. It was a huge disappointment for me that crickets, you know, at least I didn't hear anything. My immediate friends and colleagues, sure. But everyone else, you know, there was nothing. What are your thoughts about it? You think that there should have been more, or do you think it was on par with everything else?
I mean, it's like we're not even... Like, if that doesn't get people pissed off, our frog is being boiled, man. Like, we're just willing to tolerate a bunch of shit. We're soft. I mean, Americans are, you know, we're not like in Europe, they protest this shit, man. They remember how bad it can get. Like, there's still people that live there that live through some really bad times. And so they don't, you know, a lot of them are out in the streets. Like, they're good about protesting this shit. Like, as in America, we're just soft about that. Like, we just don't do it very well. Yeah, there's some marches and everything, but like, if it's not backed by like corporate, you know, like Soros money made to happen, you know, or it, organic, authentic, like, you know, protests, it's, you know, we're just not good at it.
What pisses me off about the French is that, like, what, they're only pissed off on the weekends? They can't fucking protest every day? I mean... It's like, Jesus Christ, you know, how far can you take protests that are scheduled every weekend? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's going to be ultimately the final answer. I mean, these fuckers would be terrified if they woke up, looked out their window and they saw, you know, a few hundred people with guns outside their door. I think that's the only answer we're coming to. And if it doesn't happen soon, you know, might as well get in those internment camps and, you know, cuff yourself up.
They're going to push people into a situation where people are, reacting people are going to be scared and they're going to be reacting to this. And so, look, I'm not calling for that. I hope it doesn't happen, but I think that you're going to put people in a pressure cooker like this. You're going to get violence. You know, you're going to get some people that just decide enough already. And that's real dangerous spot because they, you know, the state has the monopoly on violence. So you don't want to get into a violence fight with the kings of violence, that being the government. So like, I don't want people to, you know, I think it'd be better if we were able to manipulate things by recognizing that we're in the, you know, we have just outnumber them vastly. We can all collectively not comply with these unjust or crazy laws that they're trying to pass. Just say, we're not participating in this. Tell everybody, you know, like, just vote with our dollars, vote with our attention. Like, if there's stores in your neighborhood that say, you got to have a vaccine card to come in here. You say, fuck you, we're never coming in there. I'm going to go online and tell all my friends to never come in here. When this whole thing gets cleared up, I'm never coming back. You start pulling this Nazi horseshit, like legit Nazi horseshit, right? Whether you're fucking with the system and asking for papers, please, and everything, we are going to punish you, you know? And you, and then you, and you, you, the others that are saying, we're not going to, we're not, You come in without you. You don't need a vaccine passport or a mask or any of that stuff. We're not playing that game. You support them, you know, and then you tell all your friends, support these people. These people are doing it right. You know, so we're going to have to vote that way. I mean, you know, these concerts that are saying, oh, you've got to have a vaccine passport to get in the concert. Don't go. Don't go. Make starve them out. Oh, when they can't sell more than 20% of the seats, we're going to see things change real fast, or they can pay the price. You know, they can go down with their principles and go out of business. Fine, whatever. So we have to recognize we have the numbers. We have collectively the attention. We have the ability to, we actually can run the show if we just remember that we have the ability to, you know, we outnumber them drastically. So, and we don't need everybody to be in agreement with us either. We just need a small section of people to rise up and say, we're not doing it. And then things change because people are like, they're sheeples, you know, they're herd animals. They see a group start to dominate and they want to be like them. And then they just change with it. So there's a lot of people that aren't even fucking thinking about what's happening. They're just putting on their masks because they're not even thinking about it because they're herd animals just following in the pack. So be careful of them because they're fucking dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Very dangerous. Corey, any other questions or comments for Charlie before we close tonight?
Yes. To what degree do you see the involvement of religion in what's going on in reference to the higher-ups behind this?
Like their religion?
Yeah, like in your notes here, you have 3,000 different gods. What is that in reference to?
Well, just over time, there have been... there have been 3,000 different gods, and we as human beings that are living right now during this time, we're used to like the god in the sky, and that's the only god, that's the only real god, everything else is bullshit. But it's like, well, there were 3,000 other gods that have existed, and I'm sure everyone thought that god was the only god and the greatest god. So what I was trying to sort of point out was that, you know, your god might not be so special. Like, there's a lot of gods. They're like crypto, right? Yeah, you think your god's Bitcoin, but it could be a shitcoin. You know, you could have a shitcoin god. You know, like
great one analogy. Of these
obscure 3,000 god, you know, god that nobody gives a shit about. But that could have been your god, you know, like a long time ago. And so everyone's like, oh, this is the real thing about God now. It's like, well, maybe it is, but maybe these other 3,000 religions had it right too. You know, like they're all talking about similar stuff, or some of them are talking about, you know, wacky shit. But, you know, how do we know that your god is so special?
I hear Bell and Moloch are in fashion right now.
Yeah, man, I just think that, you know, people take religion really seriously. And so I'm like drawn to that, where I want to like make fun of that, because it's because I know it's like sensitive for people. So there's part of me that just wanted to go in there and just start sort of giving it to them a little bit. And the reason why I do it is because religion has been so dangerous over the years. I mean, I get it. There's a lot of people that get amazing components of religion into their life. It makes them a better person. Great. I'm all for that. But religion has been used as a tool to punish people and to demonize other groups and to start wars and to do some of the most horrible shit on the planet in the name of religion. And so it needs to be called out for that. It just kind of needs to. So yeah. So I mentioned that there's, you know, been 3,000 different gods, and why is your god so special, and all that. So I fully expect to not be invited to speak at universities or anything like that. So I won't be invited on any mainstream media to talk about this book after what I say about them, those pathological liars, sociopaths over there.
Well, I guess your religion isn't cool unless you're sacrificing babies or something, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That religion.
Yeah.
That's very real. It's very real to them, you know, those maniacs.
Definitely. So Charlie, man, thank you so much for coming on. Awesome information in the book, and I guarantee it is a quick way to get caught up on all the shenanigans going on our planet. Let everyone know the best way that they can pick one up.
You can get the book Hypocrisy on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. You can get the digital version from me if you want through my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. All you have to do is donate $10 via PayPal, and I'll send you the digital format of the new book. If you donate $15 or more, I'll send you the new book plus the octopus book in digital format as well. So if you want paperbacks, you got to go to Amazon for that. But yeah, that's where the book is right now. Or you can listen to Macroaggressions. That I've got 2 episodes that come out each week, and enjoying that. And of course, we've got a little project going on as well. Day Zero. Yes.
Yes. Day Zero is on fire.
It's doing on great. Fire.
Yes. Yeah. If anybody out there not listening to Day Zero, stop what the fuck you're doing right now and hop over. You're in the podcast app already. Just hop right over and fucking listen to Day Zero, because it kicks ass.
Yes. It pops up right in that search bar.
We get into some stuff, man. We get into some good stuff on
definitely
that.
Stuff you will not hear anywhere else. So don't let the kids listen, but it's fun stuff.
Yeah, earmuffs.
All right, Charlie, man. Thank you so much for coming on, and we will talk again on Sunday.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.